Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
First of all, once again, I'd like to lift up our elder. You know, visitors are always nice. He's in a place, he's not at home. You know, the only time he can see anybody is when somebody goes to see him or call him or something. It's just nice to feel loved. It really is. That brings strength to you. It helps in your recovery process. So remember Elder Early Bivens this week as you go about your daily business and give him a call. And if you're up that way, just stop by and see him if you would, please. If you would, just turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6, and I'll be reading. I probably won't read it. I'll be talking about verse 1 through 14 this morning. And God has put something on my heart, and it's been there. He's been dealing with me about it for probably about 2 months now. And it's something that I'm super excited about because, you know, it's been in there stirring around. And when it's in there that long, you got more and more time to think about it.
Right.
And as you're thinking about it, then he'll come in and he'll say, well, let me add this little bit. And it's just, he keeps building and building on his word. And it's kind of like, you know, when a preacher's standing up here and you've read a scripture 1,000 times and the preacher brings out something that you've read it a bunch of times and never saw that before. And that's what God's been doing in my spirit with this right here. And it's hard to preach it because it can go in so many different directions. I mean, what we'll talk about can do with tithes, salvation, just a number of things, just your everyday outlook on everything. And it's super exciting for me to have, because it's a revelation. And it's super exciting for something like that to be down inside you, and then, you know, to get to come and share it with people. And to, you know, just the presence of God is really, I think, is really on this. But this is, the verse is in John 6, and it's when Jesus feeds 5,000. And the heading in my Bible, I've got a King James Bible, and the heading says Jesus feeds 5,000. But then when you read down in the text, it says, somewhere it says about 5,000, somewhere, in verse 10. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. So it's not an exact number, and that's okay. But just keep that in your mind. And I don't necessarily want to... Let me say this easy for y'all Christians in here. I'm not necessarily going to bring out the fact about Jesus in this scripture. I want to talk more about this young man that's in this scripture who had Jesus inside of him. Okay, now the miracle is about Jesus. It starts off in Jesus, and he crosses the sea, and then he goes up a mountain, and apparently there's a whole bunch of people following him. Now, to follow this man, the only reason you would follow somebody is because you know who they are, and you see something, and you want to learn more about them, or they're interesting to you, or they're your friend, or something. You just don't go follow a stranger, you know. And even if you did, if I saw a car go down the road, and I saw Brother Richard take off, say, oh, my goodness, and take off. And then Sister Lee said, oh, well, I'm going too. I know, and I didn't know anything about that. Well, there's something there. Let me go see. But eventually, I'm either going to find out what it is or I'm going to go back home, because I'm not going to just keep following something I don't know anything about or something that I don't want. So there's 5,000 people, and they're following this man, Jesus. I don't want to say that lightly. They're following Jesus because they've seen him do the miracles. They know what he's about. They know what he can do, and they know what they want from him. They don't want to just kind of, hey, you're my buddy, I'm going to put you down on my friends list. No, they want some miracles. They want their life changed. They want some things going on that these other people can't do for them. And so how do they do that? Well, how do we do it? How do I do it? I kind of study the word. I see what Jesus has to say. I listen to my pastor. I see what direction that Jesus is leading the church in. I do all these things. But I can only do that because I'm here. I'm at Faith Ministries. And I'm going to tell you, the only person I've ever told this to was Julie. The other day we were driving up the road. Long time ago, I was working at Brookshire's. The church was kind of just starting. Pastor Pinson, she was just starting the church and everything. And I was in the office, and somebody was asking me about the church, and I was telling them, and it was a black person, and they said, well, do you have any... I don't know how it came about. It's so long ago. But Elder Bivens, Early and Eloise, they came up in the subject. And this person said to me, they're church hoppers. They all the way, they've been here and they've been there and stuff. Well, I didn't say anything else about it. But I was telling Julie, I've been here, what is the church, 16, 17 years, and they hadn't hopped yet. So, yes, thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you. So when you're following something, how do you know when you're in the right spot? Because it's super important to be in the right spot. You've got to be in the right spot at the right time. You have to feel led by God to go where God wants you to go. And that brings us to the point, these people following Jesus. Well, there was a little boy when Jesus got to the mountain, you know, and it said he knew what he's going to do. It said he was just testing them. He said, "What are we going to eat? What are we going to feed these people?" And they said, "Well, we don't have but so much money, and even if we, everybody, well." And then another guy said, "Well, there's a boy here, and he's got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish." And I was kind of going around about, I kind of got lost. But he's got 5 loaves of fish, or 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And then the next man says, well, even if we just ate a little bit, that's still not enough for everybody. It's not enough for 5,000. So then I got to, you know, you look at that. And remember, we're talking about the boy here. So what brings that boy to the right place at the right time that day? Was he... You know, I don't know if he was going to the market, coming from the market. I don't know if he was trying to sell his bread to the people there. I don't know, you know, I don't know what his plans were that day. I don't have any idea. It doesn't say. It didn't even matter. But what matters is that he was in the presence of Jesus, and that put him in the right spot at the right time. And for that boy to be seen in a crowd of 5,000 people, because, and I'm just assuming, if Jesus is walking, his disciples are more than likely around him. And if it's a group of 5,000 men, well, I'm assuming that that boy was somewhere in the front for them to see him. So that means he was super eager. Lisa Payne, I'm going to warn you, Sister Payne, I heard you talking about going to Marcella. They're going to want to be at the front of that, at there. So when they go in there, they got their mind set on the front. And to me, that's what this boy has. He's got that hunger in him. He wants to be at the front of the crowd. He wants to be the first one to see Jesus. He wants to be able to reach out and touch the hem of that garment right there. He knows where he needs to be to get his miracle done. If he ever wanted his food to multiply, he had to be there. He had to be with Jesus. And he knows that. So that puts him in the right place at the right time. And so that puts emphasis on that young man. Because he got out of bed, he listened to the Spirit of God, or he listened to his parents, and he did all these things, whatever the case was. And I believe that he was listening to the Holy Spirit, because I don't think if he was on the way to the market that then he would have followed Jesus. And I don't think if he's on the way home, he would have stopped and took a detour until he got hungry and everybody else got hungry. And then I want you to think, if you've got 5,000 hungry people and you're the only one with food, don't you think they're looking at you? And don't you think somebody wanted some of that food? I think so, because they probably started pushing in on him and he felt all those eyes around him, you know. But he had to have the presence of God to not give that food away, to not sell it. He had to have something in his mind that told him, I'm hanging on to this right here. You know, when Pastor talked about the building fund when we bought this church and about not being in debt. We all have jobs. We all have money. Most of us have savings, things like that. But there came a time to give that money, and we gave it to the building fund. And other people wanted that money. Your husbands, your wives, your kids, your banks, somebody wanted that money. But you didn't give it. You held on to it until just the right time, till you were in the right place at the right time to give that money to receive a return on your investment. And this church is paid for. Your lives are changed. Your sons and daughters are different. You've got nice cars. You've got every, you know, you got plenty more than what you need. And you've got more than 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish because you can eat today. So all the eyes were on this boy, and he was, man, he was in the front of the crowd. So Jesus tells him, sit down, you know, have the men sit down. So everybody sits down, and then Jesus says, well, let me stop there for a second. To be in the right place at the right time, because I don't usually go here, but to be in the right place at the right time is surface. I can be in this church right now when Pastor says there's healing miracles and not get healed. Yeah. And how do I know it's surface? Because verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples and to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Now it says right here, Jesus gave to the disciples first, and then to the people, and as much as they wanted. They got full, they ate whatever they wanted to. And then they gathered up the baskets, and it was more than what, it was like 12 baskets, and it called them fragments. Now it skipped over the other level, but if God gave me a revelation, because I didn't see it for a long time, the revelation is that boy was in the right place at the right time. And he was there, he could have seen a miracle. He's following Jesus. It was pretty good bet he was fixing to see a miracle. But he got to be a part of that miracle by giving of himself, giving something that he had. And that's where it goes deeper, because you can be in the right place. All these other people were in the right place at the right time as well. But until you just step out and you give up what you had, because he could have told Jesus, no, you know, this is for my parents, you know, this is for my grandmother, whatever. And, you know, it's the same story that's in as Jack and the Beanstalk. This kid has some beans and he's got to give them up. And somebody comes and kind of tricks him out of them. Jesus didn't trick him, but the fact that he gave his beans or his cow up and he got back beans. This boy could have just got back 5 beans. It didn't mean anything. He could have got back empty bread baskets, but he didn't. He was part of that miracle that Jesus had. And Jesus was there to give it. But he's the only one that showed up with food. So if he didn't listen to the Holy Spirit when he got up that morning and bring that bread, if he thought this stuff is too heavy to carry around, you know, I'm sure the baskets were heavy, you know, I don't know how they carried them back then, just regular baskets. But you've done crossed a sea and walked a long ways up a mountain, and that's carrying bread. Nobody else is doing it. So they're probably thinking there's food at the other end. You know, there's a buffet setting up somewhere. But this guy's, for some reason, bringing that bread. But like I say, the true miracle is when he just said, okay, you can take this, because, you know, we all know Jesus doesn't just come and force himself on somebody. He's going to knock and he's going to ask and he's going to say, can I borrow your bread? And I'm sure when he asked, he didn't say, well, I'm fixing to turn this into something you ain't never seen. That little boy is thinking, I'm probably going to get a spanking. But he did it anyway. The boy got up that day. He heard the voice of God. He followed the crowd. He stayed in front of the crowd. And he got noticed by Jesus. The only one in that crowd, I'm not going to say the only one, the main one in that crowd that mattered, he got noticed by him. And I know Jesus isn't the one that pointed him out, but he's the one that went to him and got the bread. If you notice, it didn't say the disciples brought the bread to Jesus and had him disperse it out. No, it said Jesus got the bread and handed it out. And he handed it to the disciples first. And then when that little boy saw 12 disciples eating 5 bread and 2 fish and they got all they wanted, do you think he thought anything was left for him? No, he thought it was gone. And he's like, oh, man, I'm going to be in trouble and hungry. So the revelation part of this is it's not just enough to be at Faith Ministries. It's not just enough to be at prayer. It's not enough to be just up here. We have to give of ourselves. We have to give something that we don't think that we might get back. You have to, and I don't remember if it was in prayer. She was talking about Pastor Pinson just went crazy. You know, you have to give your dignity sometimes. Just cut loose. You know, there's no telling what you'll have to give up, but there is telling what you'll get back. And it's always more. And it's always rewarding. When Jesus said, if you lose this life, you'll gain eternity. I mean, it's always more. There's more. And that's what a revelation's about. It's always more than what's just right there on the page. If you just read it and skip through it, then you'll miss it. There's revelation all through this book. It's not just in the chapter called Revelation. It's not just in the book Revelation. It's everywhere. Like I said, this can go into tithes and everything. You know, the little boy, let's look at it in tithes. He gave a tithes. He came with an offering. And then he got back just multiples. I mean, there's so much there. There's so many miracles in that. There's so many ways it can go. And it's just revelational knowledge. And I keep wanting to say the right place at the right time. And I want y'all to realize when I say that, that's what I'm talking about, is giving yourself. Because, like I said at the beginning, it doesn't do any good to be right here every prayer day if you're not going to give what you have. It's not going to be any good for you. You're going to go home and you're going to fuss with your husband or your wife or whoever, and you're just going to come back next Thursday the same way you was the Thursday before. But when we come to prayer and we get down here and pastor's down there praying, she's leading prayer, and she just starts crying out, I can look at her all for a whole hour. I'm here. I'm waiting on God. All right. 30 minutes goes by. I'm here. I know God's here. I'm still just watching her. You know, in a minute, I'll clap and shout for a minute. But if I'm just watching her, I'm not giving anything for myself. There's nothing in it for me. I'll watch her get a miracle and a breakthrough, and she'll go home happy, and I'll still be the same. But until we give from ourselves, until we get to that building fund, and then we give money, and I'm not saying give till you don't have any money. I'm not saying anything like that, but, you know, there's times when you feel the thing to give and you think, I don't have that money. Well, God knows that. He knew that boy didn't have any more bread, you know. But listen to God. I don't say that lightly. I'm not saying go empty your bank account or anything. I'm saying listen to the Spirit. Because sometimes he does try to push you. He doesn't always say $20 every offering. It's just not a standard. That's why we emphasize at this church, listening to this Holy Spirit. Get in His presence. Find out what He wants to do with your money. Find out what He wants to do with your car. Find out what He wants to do with your life. You know, there's lots of things. I've told this story before, but there was a time when my wife and I were at the conference, and her mother asked, you know, we were taking up an offering, and her mother asked, it was how much we were going to give in a certain offering. And she said, wait, don't say it out loud. So she asked her and asked me, and our differences, our amounts were way off. She said, well, y'all two need to talk. So we discussed it, and I don't even remember what we gave. But it's not always the same. And I said that. Did I hear the Spirit? I don't know. Did she hear the Spirit? I don't know. We had two different things. But I do know that we came together and gave as a family. So give. And that scripture there, you know, it can go into salvation. And that's, you know, that's a great one there, because again, you can be at this church all day, every day, and you can come to the altar calls or not come to the altar calls. It doesn't matter. But until you give your life to Jesus Christ, you're not saved. You're just coming to church, and you're giving your money away for nothing then, because I hate to say it, but, and I hope all of you are saved. But if you come to Faith Freedom Ministries time after time again, and you sit in the pews, and they have altar calls, and you don't come up here to get saved, and, you know, if you're saved when you come here, that's great. But if you don't come up here when the altar call is given, and you're not saved, and there's nothing, I'm not going to say there's nothing in it for you, because they're planting seeds. You know, they're giving you the word, and that He's steadily drawing from you. But that's the reason God put you here. That's the reason He brought you to this church, to get saved, to do the best that you can do. Because if you look at the amount of people we have here, it's big for our church. It's not as big as some or the others. But then if you look at the building we have, it's beautiful. If you look, we've got a brand new church van. We've got a brand new beautiful building that they just signed papers on. Look at what we're doing. You know, because we are here, pastor is here in the Spirit of God. And we're here in the Spirit of God to give the money for these things. And we're, you know, and people have said it many times, we don't put our money in CDs and things like that. We don't have a great big $1 million bank account at the First National or anything like that. We have operating expenses. But what we do have is the love of God in this place. And we have a pastor that more than just Thursdays is up here praying. And that's how you find the will of God and stuff. But in that praying, she's like, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. It's not just, God, if you want Brother Ernie to buy this building, go ahead and tell him. It's not that. It's, God, what do you want me to do? And as the pastor's husband, I can tell you there's been some times that my wife's had to do some things that she didn't really want to do, that probably wasn't real comfortable for her. You know, but hey, somebody's got to do them. You know. Well, I say that, but I mean, she did it. She listened to the Spirit of God. And actually, you can listen to Him all day long, but follow through. Give of yourself. Give of yourself into that. And if you do that, like I said, your life will be changed. Your heart will be changed. Your relationship with God will be changed. Your relationship with your family will be changed. And everything about you will be changed. And people will notice. They'll start saying, hey, that Sister Kim, she's just bright. Every time I see her, she's bright. And that only started happening when she came to Faith Freedom Ministries. So the revelation in that is not, to me, revelation is not that Jesus fed 5,000, because I've come to expect that from Him. I've come to expect miracle after miracle when I get into his presence. I've come to expect a great, happy feeling when I get into his presence. That's what I come to Freedom Ministries for, because I know it's here. I know, and if it's not, it'll be here within just a short little while. So to me, that's not the miracle in this.
Right.
And the miracle's not the little boy showing up, giving the bread. It's not him showing up with the bread. The miracle to me is that he got out of what he was doing and gave of himself. And that's why I say that it's surface just to show up, because there's so much more to it. There's so much more to life than just showing up in life. There's so much more to your parents than them just being there, because they're given to us. All throughout our lives, they're given to us. So I just invite you, and that's what I don't see here. That's what Michelle's, when Michelle had a question about the youth, pastor said, well, pray about it.
Yes.
And so Michelle did. She gave of herself and got up here and prayed and fasted. And look what's all transpired since then. She gave a little bit of time, gave up a little bit of food, and got back a building and a strong youth group. I mean, come on. It just, yeah. Yes, God. So I'd just like to invite you, if you've been holding back a little bit, if you've been coming to Freedom Ministries and just kind of sitting back and seeing is it worth it or not, just seeing do I want to give it my all or anything, I just would like to invite you to the altars today.